Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always
Word of Life.
So, Whitney is here this morning helping out. Whitney, did you bring the muffins with you? Just curious, with all of these guidelines and restrictions as to what we can and cannot do. Thank you for your patience with us. I'm so glad you're here. Guidelines do not allow us to physically touch. They don't allow us to provide open containers of food or coffee or any of that. But the psalmist says, I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. And I guess the Message translation says, and also with my mask. But we're here together. And we're here together virtually as a community of faith. And we're continuing to lean into this series as we sort of wrap up where we are in this wilderness, what now? As we've moved through the people of Israel, moving out of Egypt, experiencing the lessons of Scripture, what can we learn about being people of perseverance in times of wilderness, in times of wandering? Waiting is something that we do not do very well as a culture or as a people. Tell me, which one of you, either at home or here in the sanctuary, goes to the grocery store and looks for the longest line to get into? Right? You look for the short line, right? I mean, I'm sure that in this pandemic era of only drive-throughs, if you're like me, sometimes you select where you're going to get the food based on how long the drive-through line is. And I am now a frequent flyer of Whataburger curbside. And if they would let points accumulate, I probably would eat free the rest of my life at Whataburger curbside. I need to charge Whataburger since I'm missing them three now in this advertisement for them, haven't I? We're going to look today at a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 34. It's a passage of transition. We're in transition from what's happening from Moses passing over the mantle of leadership to Joshua, the son of Nun. We're in transition in our world together as we are slowly learning how it is that we can re-engage together in worship, even in limited capacity, together. We are in transition as we learn to rebuild relationships, as the fracture of brokenness in our culture, in our world, have revealed the worst of humanity and the accusatory nature. And it's time for us to, as a church, as the people, to step forward and to rise up and to lean into the truth of Scripture and the confidence that God is with us. Before I read this passage, I want to give you an idea of what's happening. Moses has led the people all the way through the wilderness. In Numbers chapter 20, Moses kind of takes things into his own hands, and rather than simply following God's command to issue forth water from a rock in the wilderness, he taps the rock with the staff twice. It's a complex task, but in that moment, Moses doesn't follow through on God's teaching, and from this, he is not allowed to move into the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28, God identifies Joshua, son of Nun, as the one whom Moses would anoint, as the one who would be the successor. And so now we move into the 34th chapter of Deuteronomy, inviting you to stand as you are able, either home or here, as you hear the Scripture and the Word of God. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev, the whole region from the Valley of Jericho, the City of Palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried them in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. And now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses has laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to Egypt to do, to Pharaoh, and to all his officials, and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel. I want us to read that together. Flip back that screen one time. I didn't tell you I was doing that. Sorry. Read this. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of God for you and me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated and let us pray together. May your spirit, O God, stand between me and your people so that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be shaped, formed, and molded into the good news of the gospel of Christ, in whose name we've gathered, in whose name we pray, and in whose name we will leave this place when we conclude watching online at home and seek to be the body of Christ in the world. And all of God's people did say, Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
There's a reason I had you read that last verse. This is the closing testimony to who Moses is. This is a great proclamation of the figure that he is in the memory of the Hebrew people. But we're going to flip back in a moment, and I'm going to show you how quickly we have a tendency to forget. But before we flip back, I want to give you a little bit of a context of where was Moses in this encounter and what did Moses see. When I was in the Jordanian area, we were actually out Mount Nebo. This is a picture of that I took when I was actually at Mount Nebo. Now, it's an overcast kind of day. I'm standing in Jordan, the country of Jordan. Mount Nebo is directly across from Jericho. So you see the tree in the bottom left part of your screen? If you were to look straight over the left-hand side, you'd be looking directly over to Jericho. You simply can't see it because of all of the cloud cover. Moses would have looked left, so that back to the south would be the Negev, back towards the Dead Sea. Straight ahead would be Jerusalem, just a little off left of center, and straight up all the way to the right would be Dan, actually the tribe of Dan, farthest north in Galilee. So the river that comes from Mount Hermon is known the Jordan from the tribe of Dan. That's why it's called the Jordan River. And so it comes from Mount Hermon into the Sea of Galilee, and eventually the Jordan River continues all the way to the Dead Sea. It's an amazing place. Moses looks over all of this expanse. The people are celebrating his leadership. God has anointed him and set him aside. They've declared his mighty works. And everybody has seen the mighty works, not only in what he has done, but how God had set him aside. But you know, it hadn't always been that way. Wasn't always that way. Moses wasn't always revered as an amazing kind of leader, because one section that we sort of passed over was Exodus chapter 25 through the remainder of Exodus, where the people get all the instructions and teachings. And did you know the Ten Commandments were actually given twice? Hopefully you're reading your scriptures and you know that, right? So there's a passage which stood out to me that helps us stand in the in-between of knowing what it means to be faithful to God and resilient and be stretched and know how to wait in what we hear in Scripture. Now, remember what you said? Nobody in all of Israel has been like Moses. He is, whether you like him or not, sort of the Tom Brady of the Old Testament, right? Listen to what happens in Exodus chapter 32, Moses is up on the mountain talking with God. Look very carefully at this text. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and they said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him." You ever wondered? That's a big spread of difference. God himself buried Moses for the way in which he was set aside for leadership. And yet, in times when Moses is not with the people are so quick to fabricate a god of their own. And that's what happens in Exodus chapter 32. We don't know where this fellow Moses has gone. One commentator named Bob Deffenbaugh says about this in Exodus chapter 32 that it's written to create an emotional impact on us as readers because we are totally caught off guard by the blatant disregard for the covenant which Israel has just ratified. They've just gotten everything. They're about to ratify that they are God's people and God will be their God. And we're shocked by the idolatry, which is a flagrant violation of one of the commandments that God has just given. We're puzzled by the way that things seem to go wrong so quickly and that Aaron seems to offer not so much as one word or one moment's hesitation when they want to create a God to lead them. Deffenbaugh goes on to say, "What can possibly explain such a rapid turn of events? How can those who have enthusiastically committed themselves to keeping the covenant which God has made suddenly reject it? Not in some backhanded, indirect way, but in a direct-handed, bold act of rebellion. How quickly things can change." That's the story of my life and yours. It's a story of our world and culture today of how quickly things can change. That in moments of transition, there is a gap that occurs. And if the body of Christ, who is called to follow Christ, to step into the brokenness of this world, remains quiet in the seasons of transition, then the brokenness gets to take over. Now, I'm going to say some things that hopefully are going to upset just about everybody here, but I figured with a smaller audience and no hymnals to throw, I could duck behind the pulpit. But I want to say some things that have really been heavy on my heart and I believe sort of culminate within this series. I think that our church collectively, not just Kingwood United Methodist Church, but our church collectively is being forced into a season of self-evaluation. And we must choose to press into this time and view it not as an interruption of how life goes, but as a gift from God, even with all of its pain, and ask the primal question of why do we exist? Why do we exist as the church?